Welcome to Executive Success. I'm Leslie Everett, and today we explore the choices, the habits, the leadership moves that shape extraordinary executives. You're watching Now Media Television. Welcome to Executive Success, the show where we explore what drives exceptional leadership and sustainable performance at the highest levels. I'm your host, Leslie Everett. Today's guest has spent 30 years shaping the leadership landscape across industries and continents. David Goldstone is an executive search partner who began his career with a top 10 global search firm before launching and successfully exiting his own multinational consultancy. Through Goldstone Associates, he now partners with fast growth and investor-backed companies to build senior leadership teams prepared for complexity and scale that we need today. He's also the founder of Vocasso, a curated community of more than 2,500 senior executives developing portfolio careers as board members, advisors, and fractional leaders. David, welcome to the show.
Hi, Leslie.
To begin our conversation, we're exploring the evolving landscape of executive success, as you know, and how the definition of success has perhaps shifted with what modern leaders must embody now to stay relevant and effective. And I find, I don't know if you are, that executives today face new expectations, new pressures, new definitions of what it means to achieve and succeed and across their careers. So I want to really unpack that and look at what your feelings are on that in this rapidly changing leadership environment. So first off, and I know you've got so much experience in this area, and we go back a long way, actually, and I've followed everything you've been doing in executive leadership and helping these people with their careers and shaping what's next. So how do you think the definition of success has changed in the last few years?
Gosh, well, it's great to be here. Thank you, Leslie. I think that the old definition of success, titles, corner offices, shareholder values, is almost a little bit outdated now. And I see across the leadership landscape is that success is about impact and authenticity. So it's not just what you achieve, but how you lead others through uncertainty. So the executives that thrive now, I can see, are the ones that can create what I call followership rather than leadership. People who inspire trust, you know, remain human, shift, accelerate. And I think that investors and boards value adaptability and empathy, clarity of purpose as much as specific experience or technical skills.
Absolutely. And I think I've been saying for a long time, many years, and you probably heard me say it on stages and various places, that if you're authentic with who you are as a leader, you take people with you much more. And this whole thing about followership rather than leadership, I think, is becoming so, so important in the world we're in. It's building the leaders of the future. It's having people follow us to create an environment where they can thrive, they can be courageous and perhaps curious as well. So there's a whole new dimension to leadership now than we've ever had before, I think. And I think that's what you're saying. What do you think, what behaviors do you think distinguish leaders who are really truly successful and those who perhaps plateau?
Gosh, I think that the leaders who sustain success tend to have a real appetite for growth. And that's not just company growth. I'm talking about personal growth. People who are curious, self-aware, humble to keep learning. I reckon the ones who plateau often fall into that trap of thinking that what got them here will always get them there. But the ones that actually evolve, I think, are the ones that surround themselves with diverse thinkers, seek feedback, and genuinely listen to the ones who do stay relevant. And it's something I see both in my Vocasso business and in also my executive search business. Leaders who embrace learning and connection tend to reinvent themselves naturally rather than reactively and jumping around when things change and they're having to deal with things quickly.
Yeah, this continual learning and being curious is so important. I always remember way back when I worked with Asda, a big supermarket chain in the UK, and the CEO at the time was Andy Clark. And I remember in one of our leadership sessions, when he introduced the session, he said, even now at CEO, I'm learning all the time. And I'm learning not so much from inside the company anymore, but external from the company and the industry. And it was a very powerful message that he sent, that even when you get to this level, learning is so, so important, but perhaps in a different environment to what you are used to. And I think that really struck a chord with me, and I'm finding kind of plays out quite a lot more in executive success today. What have you noticed about how executives are redefining ambition and balance, particularly post-pandemic?
Gosh, great question. And you know, so much has changed post-pandemic. Ambition used to be just a straight line upwards. That's where you're headed. Now, I think executives are thinking more in a portfolio shape. Pandemic made a lot of senior executives think, you know, what does fulfillment mean to them? We've seen a lot of people who want a blend, perhaps a board role, perhaps some advisory work, perhaps some mentoring, some investing. And that's why I founded Vacasso, actually, to give executives a trusted space to explore those next chapters, to stay connected with opportunity, to keep contributing from their experience in ways that feel meaningful. So I think the new definition of success is one that's less about the ladder and more about legacy and impact, actually. Plus, you know, the way in which we're communicating across the world by video is so much more acceptable these days. I think people have more flexibility of time. Their time's their own. They can work in the evening, in the morning. I think it's more acceptable for people to have a more portfolio approach to their careers than one that is 9 till 6 or 8 till 7 or 5 till 5, who knows, and be on it the whole time.
Yeah, I think what you're saying there as well is this whole global approach that we have now in business, and very few of us don't work globally in some respect, and when the way that we our messages reach and the way that we have to lead. But it has opened up this element of being able to be more flexible, and perhaps that leads into us being more authentic as individuals and really thinking about what it is that's important to us today in our lives and our work. I find this crops up a lot when I'm coaching executives. You know, what else is there outside of my day-to-day work that actually is going to drive and motivate me? And I think this whole opening up, if you will, like you've just explained, aids that to some degree. Do you see that as well happening?
Absolutely. And I think there's a pattern as well with those who sort of manage performance, that I think those who thrive are the ones who are just more energetic. They bring optimism and focus and clarity, even when things are tough. I think that leadership of tomorrow and increasingly today are people who can build environments where people thrive. And that allows them in turn to multiply their impact. So when we're looking at senior execs for high growth or investor-backed companies, we look beyond their capability to character. I know you do a lot of this with your coaching work, to bring out that authenticity, to balance ambition with empathy, and make sure that people are shaping cultures, not just being strategic and driving for profit and growth all the time. I think those are the skills that are valued much, much higher these days.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. And I wonder if you actually see any patterns, or what are the patterns that you see with the executives that continue to rise and continue to be successful in their careers?
I think that people are a lot more globally enabled. So, you know, there's a lot of global shifting that influences that. I think that people are a lot more adaptable. I get the impression that there's, you know, technology as an enabler is really important as well. And I think that leadership's become a lot more borderless. So, you know, if a CEO in London needs to think like a global citizen, you know, being comfortable navigating in a, you know, various cultural nuances. And I think that success in different markets looks the same a bit more, you know, adaptability, purpose, trust. You know, whether I'm with a tech founder in Europe or an energy CEO in the US, the ones that stand out are the ones that can connect across cultures and generations and perspectives. So it's about global conversation and success, shared evolution.
Yeah, I like that, shared evolution, absolutely. And you know, that you may have answered this to a degree, I just want to delve into it a little bit more, but how do you believe that global shifts influence what success looks like actually across industries perhaps?
I think there's an increasing desire for certain organizations to tap into generic capabilities rather than specific sector expertise. And we try and push that all the time. So some of the skill sets that work in a particular industry, often I think there's certain environments that are more open to bringing talent from other parts of other sectors and other parts of the world. And I think people value the things I mentioned before, which is, you know, passionate optimism, lifelong learning. And it's less about, you know, your specific knowledge of a particular sector or a particular function, more about your own personal ability to manage, lead, impact and be inspirational.
Yeah, so transferable skills that are going to market you maybe in a different industry to what you've always been in. Are you seeing more people shift from industry now, or is it fairly static?
I think there's certain industries that we see that have a bit of a talent drain. So if you take data centers, for example, they're so leading edged. AI, you know, there's not many experts in the world. That's why people like Meta and other organizations are paying astronomical salaries for talent, and they're starting to run out of talent. So I think it's being forced by the drive of change. And I think people are increasingly looking for transferable skill sets, which means that we're living in a time which is a great opportunity for people to move out of one sector into another. And I think there's more opportunity to do so at the moment, which, you know, creates opportunity. It also brings best practice from older, more established industries to, you know, to bear in new up and coming industries where they can benefit from that legacy experience.
Excellent, thank you. Coming up we're going to look at connection and not just competence, and why that's important to executive success. We'll be right back with more strategies, stories and steps to help you level up as a leader. This is Executive Success on Now Media Television, and we're back. I'm Leslie Everett, and you're watching Executive Success on Now Media Television. Let's continue building your executive edge. Welcome back to Executive Success. Want more of what you're watching? Stay connected to Executive Success and every Now Media TV favorite, live or on demand, anytime you like. Download the free Now Media TV app on Roku or iOS and unlock non-stop bilingual programming in English and Spanish. On the move, you can also catch the podcast version right from our website at nowmedia.tv. From business and news to lifestyle, culture and beyond, Now Media TV is streaming around the clock, ready whenever you are. Welcome back to Executive Success. We're here with David Goldstone, and in this segment, we shift to connection, something that has become both more challenging and more essential for executives worldwide. David has built Vocaso, a powerful ecosystem of senior leaders navigating portfolio careers, and his perspective on connection is reshaping how leaders build influence and opportunity. So David, I want to move into this whole piece around meaningful connection, and I think a lot of executives underestimate the value of meaningful connection. Many feel disconnected in their roles or unsure how to build visibility without self-promotion. Connection becomes perhaps a little bit more challenging with the remote world that we work in and the global world that we work in. So I just want to ask you, what inspired you to build this network for Vocaso?
Gosh, well, I know it doesn't look like it, but I have actually had 30 years in executive search. I have recently noticed something really striking. Intelligent, capable, talented leaders have been reaching out to me. They've reached a crossroads in their career, but they lack a trusted space in which to explore what's next. So many senior leaders I've been coming across ready to give back as board advisors or mentors, but actually, bizarrely, they come into the market expecting everybody to be opening their arms to them, but the traditional networks just don't service that need. So I decided to create Vocaso. I wasn't quite sure how it was all going to work out, but it's been extremely successful and fast growing. It's basically a curated community where senior executives can connect with one another and also with businesses who genuinely would value their insight. Bit about belonging, bit about bringing people together. gathering people who've achieved success and still want to make an impact in other ways, not in the traditional career sense. So we've got people who've already embarked on a portfolio career. We have people who are at C-suite currently working in organizations and want to add a bit of value in their spare time in preparation for when they do decide to pursue a portfolio career.
Great. And I love the concept of it. I've been watching what you're doing and obviously done some work for you and being interviewed for CASO. And it's incredibly needed in the environment we're in. What specifically do you think gives these meaningful connections give in terms of opportunities for leaders? What have you seen has been really helpful and has worked?
Yeah, well, you know what? I still think that the best opportunities rarely come from cold outreach. You know, Leslie, you and I have known each other for, 13, 14 years. Many executives know each other, have known each other for a very long time. And I think when two experienced people come together with shared curiosity, great stuff happens. You know, no agenda. That's where possibilities emerge. And therefore, within Vicasso, I see opportunities where a conversation may happen between a couple of members, a company that's looking to recruit a board member or an advisor, or even a new business venture. And so I think that when people come together and it's all about generosity rather than self-promotion, when certain leaders, they get to a stage in their careers where they're not always fighting for profile. It's not an ego-driven thing. They just want to add value by sharing experience and insight. I think the opportunities that people are seeking follow. So it's almost like, you know, looking in stealth, not being overt about it, but just having conversations, connecting with people, not realizing that, you know, your neighbor who's also a member, he was involved in a business where you could be dramatically impactful by virtue of your experience. And that's how it's working and that's how it's evolving.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense. And I think by sharing content, and I'm a great believer in this, you're actually helping people to understand more of who you are and what you're about, what you stand for, what you're an expert in, which in turn allows them to talk about you in a more consistent way and perhaps a more authentic way to what they might have done had they not known you better. So I think content helps us to share amongst the community and with our own contacts about somebody and their expertise. I'm sure you see that. What do you think? What advice would you give to executives who want to improve their visibility but do it authentically?
You know, you've absolutely hit the nail on the head. Authenticity is everything. I know you coach this in your other businesses. The mistake many people make is trying to project a brand rather than reveal who they really are. So my advice would be for people to share their thinking, write, speak, mentor, let people see how you approach challenges. And visibility should come from contribution, not from performance. You know, when people can experience your ideas, your integrity, you become memorable, I think, for the right reasons. Show up as you, not as a version of you who you think people expect. And I think that's common with people who've spent their lives in corporate land. They put this facade on, this mask of how the organization expects them to be. But the most value they can give is being authentic, being themselves, and being benevolent and generous with their experience to help others. An opportunity will come back straight away. Absolutely.
Yeah, and it's a tough one. I think there's always this idea like, I don't want to be visible with perhaps video because it's got to be perfect. And so therefore they don't get to it. They think it's time consuming. But, you know, being authentic is not always easy. Is there one tip you've ever found that really can crack that hard shell of an executive who has been molded through their career and really isn't being authentic, but is creating this brand? Is there one thing that you've found has worked over the years?
I think that when we come across senior executives who've been successful in their career, they sometimes have this inferiority complex. And I would say the one trick is to try and overcome that and realize that, I don't know if you've heard the expression, in the kingdom of the blind, the one-eyed man is king. And many of the executives we work with know 10 times more than some of the founders or growing businesses know about how to grow a business, how to be strategic, how to exit, how to internationalize. And I think that as long as you're true to what you deeply understand, then you can add real value. So there's no, I don't think you should try and transcend your experience into an area that you don't understand. But I think early doors, you should try to be authentic by being, by adding value in the areas that you are comfortable in, that you have deep expertise in, because you'd probably be surprised at how, you know, how impressive you can be to someone who doesn't have the same level and degree of experience that you have. So that one tip is to, you know, I suppose initially stick with what you know and be authentic through generous advice based on experience.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree with that. And, you know, this whole thing about community, and whether it's a Vocasso community or any community that we feel that we belong to, do you think that that, or how do you think that strengthens career resilience, perhaps, in uncertain times that we are seeing right now?
Yeah. You know what, if people have already left corporate life, or sometimes when they're in corporate life, but they feel they don't want to be anymore, maybe, I think that being part of a community gives you some perspective and momentum. So when markets shift or roles change, the real enemy is isolation, right? And so I guess being part of a community keeps leaders connected to new thinking. It keeps leaders connected to new sectors, new opportunity. And it's not just emotional support, it's strategic resilience. So within our community, members will share insights on, for example, what boards are discussing, what the topics of conversation right now are, how industries are evolving, how to position yourself for what's coming next. So I think being part of a community that's a collective of people from different functions and different sectors, but all who share a common denominator about wanting to add value and be influential, keeps people future fit. I think that that's what community can give you, for sure.
Yeah, it's that connection that you say, and actually that perspective that you can get when you are in a community like that, that honest perception that people can give you on that, and that perspective on it. What role do you think connection plays when we're looking at long-term executive leadership? Can you go deeper into that piece, the connection piece?
For sure. I mean, I mentioned this before, and I'll mention it again because it's so critical. The most influential leaders I've met are those who invest in others long before they get anything back. When you stay connected, when you add value, when you remain visible for the right reasons, your influence will compound over time. You become the person who people will call when they need clarity or perspective. And that's the ultimate measure, I think, of sustained success, because I think that being present and not wanting anything back leads to opportunity. I think you need to guard yourself against, you know, just giving free advice all the time. But I think if you're there for people and they understand that your business is to add value and eventually get paid for it, I think that that's how you will develop a relationship through influence.
Yeah, and I think from connections as well, and I look at back through the connections I've had through the years, you're one of those. Right now, in my career as a consultant, as well as what I'm doing here on TV, I find that those connections are really coming into play now because of the trust that people have built perhaps in me over the years. Have you found that's the case for you as well, personally?
Well, you know, like I said before, I've been doing this for a very, very long time, and I love keeping in touch with great people, which is why we've kept in touch with each other for so long. And you know, I don't know, you know, what path it will take us on, but I know that whenever I, you know, need to talk to you about something in particular around your specialism, you're dependable, reliable, and you're happy to give advice. And I know that if I were to ever introduce anyone to you, then they'll get the same treatment. And that's what relationships are all about. They're developed over time.
Absolutely.
And that's what I love about my profession and being in a very networked industry where, you know, I can keep in touch with great people. And yeah, I always try to help wherever I can, and work finds me rather than me having to find work.
Hugely valuable, absolutely. So coming up, we're going to explore the world, how the world of work is being reshaped and what executives need to do now to stay relevant. We'll be right back with more strategies, stories, and steps to help you level up as a leader. This is Executive Success on Now Media Television. And we're back. I'm Leslie Everett, and you're watching Executive Success on Now Media Television. Let's continue building your executive edge. Welcome back to Executive Success. As we continue our conversation, we move into a major shift happening around the world, the rise of fractional, advisory, and portfolio leadership models. These new models are giving organizations unprecedented access to expertise and executives much more control over how they work. This is always a fascinating thing for me, David, and just bringing you back here to come into this whole thing about fractional leadership. It's quite a new term, I feel. I want to delve into that a little bit, but many of our viewers will be facing a change, changing perhaps talent market, and finding it a challenge to get back into work, or they're finding the traditional employment structures don't work anymore, or they're not traditionally been able to fit into those. So I want to delve into that a bit more and how executives can prepare themselves for this new norm, as it were. Why are these models so effective for both leaders and businesses, do you think?
You're absolutely right. It's changing. It's changing at a rate of knots. And I think we see the future right here. And it comes down to flexibility meeting value. So many businesses that are in growth or transformation mode don't always need or can't always justify a full-time senior leader, but they still need that caliber of insight. So for executives who also may be tired of the hamster wheel of corporate life, this gives them an opportunity to apply their experience, maybe across several organizations, make a real difference without the constraints of a single full-time position. And it's a win-win. You know, companies get access to proven expertise and talent, and executives get to gain their autonomy, variety, renewed purpose. And I'm seeing that model take shape. So, you know, I don't want to do myself out of a job as a headhunter. We're still doing traditional executive search work, but now I'm having a different conversation, and I'm saying, look, you know, do you really need a general counsel? How would it be if you could secure a general counsel from a significant organization who could come in once a month, set the agenda, set the strategy, recruit the team, and delegate? You know, having someone in your office who, you know, could do that standing on their head in a full-time role, have them for a day or two a month instead. And I think that flexibility gives both sides an amazing opportunity.
I totally agree. And I love this whole new way of working. I really do. And do you think it helps companies bring in much more relevant and up-to-date information, perhaps outside of their sector? Often when we recruit executives, we bring them in from the same sector. With this fractional approach, perhaps we're getting experience and wisdom and insight into our business that we may not have had. Do you feel that happens?
I don't know if the market's quite ready for that yet. I think it's possible, excuse me, but if you're going to be recruiting somebody for a short period of time to do a specific job and be impactful, what I'm seeing is people want the unicorn in their sector. They want someone who can hit the ground running and be super impactful. And sometimes just getting through the door needs someone who's had a big role in a relevant company. But I think as the market matures, I think people will value expertise beyond specific sectorization. So you may have someone who's come from, for example, the restaurant world, who has successfully grown, I don't know, taken a chain of restaurants from 50 to 250 internationally, who could be just as effective in a tire place where they need to grow and it's retail oriented. So I think there's got to be a link. But I always think there's a lot of advice for a lot of attraction for senior people, but a lot of it boils down to personality and fit. You know, I'm sure that there's many executives that can walk into a million different businesses and be effective. It's about personality, the ability to understand and connect with the company you're going to be working for. But I think right now, fractional work tends to be going to people who, on the resume at least, people can see a real connection.
I find a lot of my work is drawing out what I often call the golden thread of expertise that you have, which is fully like transferable to other industries, and really looking at helping executives to identify what those threads are. Not necessarily, so for example, about growth transformation, It may not be growth transformation just in a sales world. It might be in a retail sector as well. And there's a lot of transferable skills. So I'm finding myself spending a bit of time on that. So it's good to hear that it's there. We've probably got a way to go for it to be fully developed, but good to hear that. What do you think the global talent networks are doing, or what are they? How are they, the global talent networks, changing traditional recruitment?
Well, I mean, there's no question that the world of work's become borderless, right? I mean, you know, you can be on other sides of the world and still have a meaningful debate and conversation. And I think that through platforms and communities like Vacasso, we can see that leaders of members, our members, are connecting directly with founders, investors anywhere in the world. And that changes recruitment completely, right? It's no longer about filling a vacancy. It's about curating capability on demand. Talent networks let companies access trusted, pre-vetted executives quickly and allow leaders to showcase their experience much more dynamically than they'd get from a CV. So I suppose it's about blending that best of both worlds from rigorous assessment with connectivity of networks. So I think there's much more flexibility, which means that the competitiveness for executives getting into these roles is much more acute, because no longer are you competing with other candidates in Milan or London or Australia. You're competing with the world, right? Because companies, if they're prepared to accept impactful advice via the video, then, you know, anywhere in the world, absolutely, as long as the time zone works, right?
Yeah, it really, really does. And it's exciting. It's an exciting time to be an aspiring leader and an executive. So would you advise, or how do you think executives need to, what do they need to work on and do to remain adaptable and relevant? What are some of the big tips? Because I know a lot of our viewers will be thinking, well, how do I do that? Where do I start?
I think like a brand, behave like a learner. So I think staying visible and being open to reinvention. I often see people who will shy away from opportunity because they just make the assumption themselves that they're not going to be right. I think that I think people who continuously invest in their own learning, who understand how they can create value, how they can articulate it clearly, and embrace technology networks and collaboration, they're the ones that will succeed, I think. It's about mindset. I think proactively shaping your own career, your own portfolio career, rather than waiting around for opportunities to find you. It's about taking control of your own professional narrative and being proactive. So, yeah, not being afraid to try, being open to learn, and taking ownership and, being proactive.
Yeah, totally agree. And probably what you're saying there as well is letting ego go a bit as well, which can come into play a little bit, thinking I know it all, but maybe there are some other things I can learn now because the world of leadership and business is evolving. I think letting that ego drop a little bit sometimes and bringing back the vulnerable and the humility is important as well. What do you think companies are doing, or how are they rethinking leadership for this new world of this agile world that we work in, this agile business era that we work in?
Great question. I think a lot of organizations are realizing that they don't need a static hierarchy. I think they need fluid capability. So we're seeing a lot of hybrid models where you have permanent leaders that are supported by a bench of fractional experts. We're seeing this increasing. It's always been going on. You know, you take a corporate building, security, HR, finance, payroll, waste management, access control are being outsourced to fractional organizations. But I think that in organizations as well, leadership can be supported by people who can step in at critical moments, whether that's scaling internationally, preparing for an investment, leading a transformation. So I think that's creating a huge agility in organizations. So we're advising boards on building these flexible ecosystems where they can access the right expertise at the right time.
David, how do you think companies are rethinking leadership structures for more and more agile business world?
I think many organizations realize they don't need a static hierarchy. They need fluid capability. So we're seeing a lot of hybrid models where you have permanent leaders supported by a bench of fractional experts. They can bring in support at critical moments. So that could be scaling internationally. The company's about to prepare for investment. They're leading transformation. And that creates massive agility. So we're increasingly advising boards on how they can build these flexible ecosystems so they can access the right expertise at the right time without the heavy long-term overheads.
Yeah, it makes sense. It may take some time to do, but what shifts do you predict in how organizations might access senior executives at this point going forwards?
Well, that's the beauty of it, I think. I think we're moving towards a world where access replaces ownership. So companies won't need to own talent in the traditional sense. They'll access it through trusted ecosystems. So it could be search partnerships. It could be investor networks. It could be curated communities like Vacasso. And as for executives, success will mean being part of those ecosystems where it's about your reputation, your contribution, and your connection. That's going to be the new currency. So it's a really exciting time where leadership is no longer confined to job titles. It's about where and how you can add the most value. Really exciting.
It certainly is. And we'll be right back. And up next, we're going to dive into wisdom and legacy and more into this future of leadership. We'll be right back with more strategies, stories, and steps to help you level up as a leader. This is Executive Success on Now Media Television. And we're back. I'm Leslie Everett, and you're watching Executive Success on Now Media Television. Let's continue building your executive edge. Welcome back to Executive Success. Don't miss a second of this show or any of your Now Media TV favorites, streaming live and on demand whenever and wherever you want. Grab the free Now Media TV app on Roku or iOS and enjoy instant access to our lineup of bilingual programs in both English and Spanish. Prefer podcasts? Listen to Executive Success anytime on the Now Media TV website at nowmedia.tv. Covering business, breaking news, lifestyle, culture, and more, Now Media TV is available 24/7, so the stories you care about are always within reach. Welcome back to Executive Success. In this closing segment, we explore wisdom, how executives think about legacy, purpose, and the lasting impact they want to create. This is where leadership becomes not just a role, but a contribution to the future. David, many leaders reach a point where performance is no longer the only metric. They're seeking meaning in their work, legacy, and opportunities to shape organizations like never before through short-term and high-impact involvement, in fact. And this segment, I want to uncover the deeper motivations driving modern executives today. What impact does short-term high-level experience actually bring to organizations? What is the overall impact to them?
Well, it's massive, isn't it? You know, short-term, high-impact leadership can be transformational when it's done well. A seasoned exec stepping in for a day a week for 6 months can bring clarity of perspective that sometimes gets lost inside businesses because these people that come in are not tied to internal politics, legacy thinking. They're focused purely on outcomes. So we see these individuals acting as catalysts, aligning teams, accelerating decisions, embedding disciplines that endure long after they've gone. And I think it's a perfect example of how wisdom and objectivity can deliver immediate measurable value. It's fantastic.
Yeah, exciting. So exciting times. What I'm finding a lot of leaders that I work with are doing is seeking external motivations from their corporate role in maybe social responsibility and volunteering in sideline businesses and that kind of thing. And I've talked about this on the show before, but are you seeing that as well with leaders right now and how they're looking beyond their careers perhaps in this way?
Absolutely. I mean, there's been a huge awakening. Many senior leaders tell me they reach a stage where their motivations shifted from personal achievement to contribution. So it's less about what's in it for me and more about who can benefit from what I've learned. And increasingly, you know, that people turn to the not-for-profit sector. They add value to organizations less fortunate than they have been in their careers. And I see it every day, you know, members mentoring founders, investing in startups, taking on roles to help shape the next generation of leaders. So purpose kind of extends far beyond the boardroom, leaving behind, you know, capability, culture, and confidence in others. And, you know, I think it's purpose driven rather than anything else now.
Yeah, I agree with that. I'm seeing that the same. It's an interesting time we're living in. Do you think there's one mindset or behavior that do you believe predicts executive success in the decade coming up ahead?
Oh, adaptive intelligence. You know, I think that we touched on this before, the ability to stay calm, curious, and creative when things are changing. I think technical knowledge dates very quickly, but self-awareness doesn't. I think that leaders that continue to learn and listen and evolve will outpace those who rely on the stuff that used to work. And the very best executives I meet are the ones that can hold two ideas at the same time, which is confidence in what they know and humility about what they don't. So that balance, I think, keeps people ahead of the curve. So, yeah, adaptive intelligence is what I would say it'd be a skill to hone in the coming decade.
Yeah, and the humility thing crops up so much. I hear it from leaders all the time. They don't really know how to do it. Sometimes they miss the opportunities to do it. But it's spotting the opportunity to say, hey, you know, there was a time in my career I really didn't know anything about this, or I made this huge mistake. And this is what I did as a result. And even admitting now that they don't know everything is quite a thing for leaders to say and do. But we're getting there, and I'm finding that the environments that people are working in are making it a safer place to do that generally. There are some companies, I'm sure, that have a way to go with that. But how do you think leaders should think about balancing wisdom, impact, and the pace of work today?
Gosh. Well, I mean, that's a really interesting dynamic, because wisdom without pace is caution, right? Pace without wisdom creates chaos. So I think the art of modern leadership lies in integrating all of that together. And I think that leaders who manage that well can understand when to pause and think and when to move and act. And those sorts of leaders are able to build good teams. They delegate smartly. They focus their energy on where they can create this thing which is disproportionate value, being really impactful. And I think that balance defines the difference between good leaders and really amazing leaders. But just coming back to something you said before, Leslie, was around people accepting that, you know, they have to hold their hands up sometimes and just be a little bit humble and accept that they don't know everything. And I think that that takes time for people to learn, and you have to be a little bit humble and eat some humble pie and realize that you don't know everything, but what you do know can be really useful to people.
Have you seen any great examples of leaders that have shifted in this way and really changed things up with a massive impact?
Gosh, there's a question. I think leaders who question why have we always done things in a particular way. I think that over in the US, I think that Richard Branson is a leader that I admire greatly, who's constantly reinventing and keeping the customer at the very center of all that he does, rather than giving the customer what the company thinks they want. So I think that he's diversified into a lot of different businesses and capitalized on excitement, experiential businesses that, you know, are more about what, you know, vacation time and experiencing leisure in a way that others have never done. But if you look at the track of a lot of the Virgin companies, they've been reinventing themselves along that line. You know, how can we make the experience better than everybody else? How can we deliver a fun, meaningful experience? So I think that's a, yeah, I think that's a business and a leader that's pivoted in line with that.
Yeah, absolutely. There is. There's quite a few around. I think the are you seeing there being a movement, perhaps might maybe too big a word, but towards leaders really thinking about what their teams need right now, what their people need, and it's no longer just about more vacation time or, you know, perhaps having the ping pong table in the coffee room or things like that. Are you seeing there being a move towards awareness of what people need now when they work for a company?
Wow, that is so insightful, because that is a common trait amongst some fantastic leaders. Actually listening and hearing what the team is interesting in doing, but also clarity of communication. You know, we're in this together. This is the overall objective of our team. This is what we're trying to achieve. And I think the individuals within the team have a role to play in achieving that objective. And everybody should know what their role is in that overall target. And I think people value the opportunity to speak up and articulate how they can add value so that the sum of the parts is greater than the whole. So actually, I am seeing it amongst great companies that people are being heard. And it's not just about having a beer tap in the serviced office or having a beanbag or a relaxation room, but it's more about what individuals need to be successful in their particular roles, because balance of work is so much more important as well. Can I get my work done, be impactful for the organization? But hey, guess what? I do have another life outside of work, and work it. I don't work to live. I live, you know, I don't live to work. I work to live. So I think it's communication, openness, and clarity of direction is traits that good leaders will always instill in their teams.
It is. It's again exciting times to see what comes out of the creativity and the approach that leaders need to take to motivate people and hold on to the best talent, of course. Big question now. What do you predict the future of leadership looks like as we move forwards, maybe beyond what we're seeing right now?
So it's certainly becoming more distributed, more human, and more purposeful. So I think we'll see flatter structures. I think we'll see more shared accountability. I think we'll see greater collaboration over control. So technology will certainly change everything we do, but emotional intelligence, trust, authenticity, which we talked about before, will only become more important. And I think the future of leadership is a partnership between human judgment and digital capability. So that's, I mean, frankly, that's the spirit behind my search firm, Goldstone Associates, and the community we have for Casso, connecting experience, insight, and innovation so that leadership remains a force for good in business.
Perfect. Love
and
it.
In society.
David, this has been incredibly valuable. Thank you very much. And where can people follow your work and continue this conversation with you?
Well, the best place is through vocaso.com, vocaso.com, with details about our community and events. And then there's also goldstoneassociates.com for connecting ambitious businesses with transformative leadership that drives success. And of course, I'm on LinkedIn, where I share lots of insights on leadership, portfolio, careers, and the evolving world of work. And I love to keep the conversation going. So anyone who's passionate about shaping what comes next, get in touch.
Excellent. Thank you. Your perspective on success and connection and the evolving world of leadership is hugely valuable, and I'd urge people to follow you. Your wisdom is a roadmap really for executives as they navigate the future. To our viewers, thank you for joining us today. Stay intentional, stay adaptable, and continue defining your leadership legacy. We'll see you next time on Executive Success.